Okay, guys, welcome to Crane Christian Church morning worship. Matthew. And we are at 21. We're going to get to 22 here in a minute, but 21, we're going to finish up one more gentle reminder for the 16th time. Evidently, God is telling us and me something. So, the fig tree withered. We're in chapter 21, verse 18. Now in the morning, he returned to the city and he was hungry. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about Jesus and he was hungry. And as you see in the verse before that, he had cleansed the temple and he had went to Bethany and he had lodged there. And so he's rested and now he's hungry. Time for breakfast, okay? He returned to the city. He was hungry. In verse 19, he says, and seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves and said to it, let no fruit grow on you ever again. And immediately the fig tree withered away. He spoke those words and something happened. Now, this is like the sixth week or fifth week, either in Sunday school or in here, that we've talked about the tongue. But we're going to take just a second on it because some of you guys are like, does he not? It's like that old joke about the preacher. He came in for this first week of church and he preached this great sermon. They voted him in. He's going to be there. He came back the next week. He preaches exactly the same sermon. Everybody loves it. And he's a great guy. He's a great speaker. He comes back the third week and preaches exactly the same sermon. And finally the board says, hey, we gotta have a meeting. And they bring him back in the back and they sit down and said, you preached the same sermon 3 weeks in a row. He said, yeah, I'm waiting for y'all to do something about it before I move to the next thing. Okay, so maybe that's why God keeps bringing up the tongue. Maybe it's me, maybe it's you, maybe it's all of us. So he spoke those words and that happened. Is there life and death in the tongue?
Yes.
Is a ship a big thing? It's guided by a tiny thing called a rudder. Is your tongue your rudder? Okay, so there you go. There's the quick review. In verse 20, it says, now when the disciples saw it, they marveled, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith, not because you have faith, it's if you have faith, and do not doubt. There's that, I could put that in parentheses. Oh yeah, we'll pay you back for this unless it's a Tuesday and and unless there's not a dinosaur that steps on it, that's their insurance thing. But anyway, but the point being is this, guys, and you don't doubt. You will not only do what was done in this fig tree, but if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, it will be done. And all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Now, I'm not going to get into this long story about my childhood, but I will tell you this real quick. I'll abbreviate it, okay? When I heard this, man, I started asking. So you got to realize I'm about 10 years old and I'm asking. And I want to tell you something. What I learned very quickly was that God loves you too much to give you everything you ask for. Does that make sense? Because he sees things. Imagine this, that you're playing checkers and all you can see is the first row. That's all you're seeing. So, man, what I need to do is this right here. What he is seeing is this game, the next game, the next game, the next game, the next game. He is God. Does that make sense? Do you trust him?
Yes.
Okay. And I remember being in prayer many, many years ago. I'd been married 42, 3, 4, whatever. So probably 40 years ago plus. And I'm praying, I'm saying, God, what am I going to do this? What am I going to do with this? What am I going to do about this? What am I going to do with this? I'm worried about this. This is the, And I remember literally, guys, so clearly. It's like, so you're going to trust me that you receive salvation from burning eternity in hell, but you're not going to trust me that I'm going to take care of this next little problem? And I'm like, you got a real point there, God. That makes a lot of sense. He has talked to me like a redneck, okay? I mean, he can't say thou for thou art all that other. And I'm like, what? Okay. So, do you trust him?
Yes.
Okay. Then watch what you say. And when he puts a desire in your heart, begin to pray and seek him about that. And guess what? He has total authority to say, nope. That's not the best thing for you. So, in the middle of all that, we're going to go to a controversial story. How many of you love controversy? I don't. Okay. I hate it. Drama? Yeah, I'm not made. But guess what? I can promise you that this story here causes people to argue, and that'll be fun. Y'all can argue later amongst yourselves because I've already figured out what's right. All right. So chapter 22, the parable of the wedding feast. When Jesus answered and spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Then he sent out to other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatted cattle are killed, all the things are ready. Come to the wedding. And they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest seized the servants, get this, treated them spitefully and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burnt up their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite them to the wedding. So the servants, you know, the last bunch got killed. So these may have taken some tools with them. I don't know. Okay. But what's this? So the servants went out to the highways and gathered together all they found. Somebody tell me what the next four words are.
Both bad and good.
Can you believe the Bible said that?
Yep.
Just good people get to go to this church. We don't let any bad ones in here. Okay. I'm just kidding, guys. That it says this, together all they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was what? Filled with guests. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Okay. So, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Some of y'all get scared right now. He said he's going to do the whole Bible. No, I'm not. Okay. In the beginning, who created the heaven and earth? So who's in charge? Okay. So in this story, the king is God. Does everybody get that? Okay. And that's not a point, but you need to know that before we go any further. And if you don't think God is in charge of this earth, if you think that he's just up there wondering, what in the world am I going to do? I don't know what to do about all these rednecks, what they're doing. No, he's in charge. If you don't like what's going on, talk to him. Okay, so what's this? He spoke to them again in parables and said, it's like a certain king, that's him, who arranged a marriage for his son. Now, I want to tell you something. The picture here would take many weeks to go through, but just believe me when I say this, you are part, if you are a born again Christian, if you've received Christ as your Savior, you're part of the bride of Christ. Do you see that? It's a picture, okay? We are part of the bride of Christ, okay? And he has an arranged a marriage with his son, Jesus, who came and gave his own life for us. He died on the cross for you. And when we come together, we are the bride of Christ. So everybody see this typology, this picture. It's a beautiful thing that's fixing to happen. Okay? And he is also, this is both a pillar where you can place your belief system on it, but it's also a prophecy. We're going to see that in a minute. It's a pillar and a prophecy. So what's this? Not a pillow, by the way. A pillow is what you lay down and go to sleep on. A pillar is something you build something on. Because some of y'all can't tell the difference. And, you know, when I do talk to text, I have to be very careful before I send it because they don't know what I'm saying. So he's arranged this marriage for his son. And he sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. So now you get into the subjection. Okay, where one teacher teaches this, one teacher teaches this, but this is one of them, okay? So do you remember over and over in the Bible as we've been going through this part, the Gospel of Matthew, and we've been picking and choosing from others to go with that, but watch this. As we've gone through this, Jesus will say something like, you know, we're not going to the Gentiles yet. It's not time for the Gentiles. Do you remember him saying that? And a lady came to get healed, and he said, you know, I can't throw the bread to the crumb. You know, the dog, you know, all of that. He's always saying it's not time yet, okay? Part of that is it's not time to reveal himself as the Messiah because that's going to speed things up rapidly, okay, because he's got some stuff to do first. But the other reason is because he comes to the Jew. He is proclaiming the truth to the Jewish nation first. That's what's happening. Can you see that in the Bible? It's a big concept, but it's shown over and over, okay? And so they were not willing to come. And how many of you know that the Jewish nation as a whole, 2,000 years ago, rejected Christ? That doesn't mean there were not Jewish men and women who accepted Christ. I mean, that it was a Jewish sect, S-E-C-T, okay? It was part of Judaism. That's where I was started, okay? So you're following me. But overall, they rejected, and they say, no, we ain't coming to your wedding. We ain't coming, okay? So then he sent out other servants and tell those who are invited, see, I've prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatted cattle are killed. In other words, it's time. And they made light of it, and they seized his servants. That, now he's talking about Jesus is crying over Jerusalem. Another time, he's praying about Jerusalem, and he said, you know, I've sent you prophet after prophet after prophet. You realize Isaiah prophesied this. It goes all the way back. And he has been trying to work with these people all the way from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, right? And what's the story? They repent. Prosper. Remember, it's the big circle. We've done it only 20 years here. Okay, the big circle where they prospered. Then they got their eyes off God. Then they sin, and then they fall back into captivity. Then they call on the Lord. They get trouble. You know, does anybody else in here relate to that? Oh man, that's human beings. That's human beings. That's being a human. Okay, and here's the deal. So then it says the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. And you know, prophets were killed. They were, and it goes on and on and on. And the king heard about it, and he was furious. And he sent his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Now, as we look at commentaries with this right here, you know, Jerusalem, after Christ was crucified, that on and on, it was sacked, burned, I mean, through the, I mean, when you look at the last 2,000 years, it's been fighting, you know, all of that's happened. So that's the prophecy part. And he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those were not who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways. One version says highways and byways, okay? And as many as you find, invite to the wedding. What does Jesus say specifically? Everybody who's thirsty. Is that what he says? And I want to tell you, God is stirring something in me and has been, he's been working on it a very long time. Because evidently it takes a while for me to get the message. You know, just imagine if you woke up in the morning and there was something taped on the mirror, there was something on the refrigerator, there was something on your car door, there was something, you know, and you say, you know, that's kind of a coincidence that all these messages, you know, God keeps pulling the same thing, scripture after scripture after scripture. And then now, as we've worked our way through Matthew over and over, as I've worked my way back in my personal study, over and over, it keeps coming up. So what's this? Go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. Now, the purist would say that means the Gentiles, and it does. Okay? But it doesn't just mean the Gentiles, because there's another line in here in a minute. It means if you're thirsty. Is this world thirsty?
Yes.
This world, listen, can you imagine weed eating? Because that, to me, that's the hottest job there is. I'd rather push a mower all day long than weed eat. You're hung on that. I hate that. So you're weed eating, okay? And Joey said, yeah, that is hot. Sorry, I can read your lips, boy. Anyway, so watch what you say. Anyway, so the bottom line is this, guys. I mean, can you imagine me getting thirsty? Really, really thirsty, but not knowing why I feel that way. Listen to me. Just get worse and worse and drier and drier, and your voice gets parched and you get weaker. You know, you can live 40 days without food, but you can't live 40 days without water. You know that. You'll die. Then you're thirstier and thirstier. Now you're getting kind of confused. You're getting dehydrated. You're getting this. You're getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And that is a picture of the world right now. They don't even know they're thirsty. They think, oh, if I got a new Cadillac, if I got an electric car, if I got higher handlebars and lighter pipes, if I have the world's nicest watch, if I have the perfect haircut, if I lose 40 pounds, if I gain 20 pounds of muscle, if whatever it is, if I look perfect, if I get 10,000 Instagram or Instagram and Facebook and all that other stuff. All right, you see what I'm saying, right? That's not gonna fill that thirst, is it? Will it? And I want to tell you something. What happens is, he sent his servants, and the wedding is ready. And the ones who are invited, they're not interested, they're not worthy. Go into the highways and the byways and invite. And the world is thirsty and they're hungry. And I want to tell you something, the ones on the highways and the byways, and this next part just wears me out. It literally wears me out. So the servants went into the highways and gathered up all they found, okay? All they found, not the ones who believe like you, not the ones who look like you, not the ones that are your color, not the ones that smell like you, not the ones that don't have a criminal record, not the ones that don't have this, those ones that aren't addicted, those that have their love life worked out, does it say any of that? This would be the perfect time to put in your pet sin. Perfect. It'd be the perfect time. He says instead of that, it says this, both bad and good. We're not talking about the ZZ Top, I'm bad and Nationwide. We're not talking about that bad, okay? We're talking about bad. And guess what? There is no one good, no, not one. Now, I may struggle different than you struggle. These people out here may struggle different than I struggle. They may struggle different than you struggle. But guess what? We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. On our best day, our righteousness is as filthy rags. And I want to tell you something. You need the wedding garment. If you're watching this morning, if you see this 6 months from now, if you're in the room with me now, I want to tell you, you need the wedding garment. And listen, they invited everybody. And the wedding was filled with guests. All those rednecks showed up. Shut up. It's free food. Probably some dancing, you know, maybe even a little bit of wine. Okay. I mean, why wouldn't you go? Why wouldn't you go? Okay. I can sit here on the side of the road or I can go get a free meal and hang out with some cool people. You know, I can do that. Or why wouldn't you go? Why wouldn't you go? Well, the reason you wouldn't go is because, you know, I've got other things to do because I'm too important. And is that what happened to the first group of people? Is that what happened? They missed out because they got it all together. David's mighty men of valor, they did not have it all together. Jacob did not have it all together. Moses did not have it all together. Noah did not have it all together. They didn't have it all together. David, my favorite, my go-to guy, he didn't have it together either, did he? Did they love the Lord? Did they accept Him? Did they follow Him? Did they try their hardest? Did they try? Yeah, so try, man, because I'm running out of bail money here, okay? Do what you could, you know what I'm saying? Because your health depends on it. Your mental health depends on it. Your finances depend on it. Do the right thing, okay? Make the right choices. But guys, watch this. Both bad and good, and the wedding was filled with guests. So the king came to see the guests. Okay. Who's the king?
God.
Is he in charge?
Yes.
Okay. If you don't believe that, if you think there's this big battle right now going on, the devil's almost going to beat him. Okay. That ain't happening. Okay. Is the devil alive and well on planet Earth? Is he doing everything to discredit, to do it? Yes, absolutely. And there is battles going on, powers, principalities in the air, but God's in charge. So when the king came to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. I want you to get your Bibles or write it down to look up later. Isaiah 61, verse 10. I love Isaiah because Isaiah is a man just like me and you. He's a human being, but God uses him in this place and time in history to see ahead to the end and to see what's happening. He sees things in the spirit and writes them down for us to be able to, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, for us to be able to read them later. Thank God for the Bible. Listen to what he says. For I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, and my soul will be joyful in my God, for I went down and spent my last dollars and bought myself all these nice clothes. Is that what it says?
No.
Does it say, for he hath clothed me? Is that what it says?
Yes.
Did you do it? We are sheep. He is God, not we ourselves. We are sheep of his pasture. For he has clothed me with the garments of what?
Righteousness.
Righteousness. The garments of salvation. Another version says salvation. He has covered up. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, the garments of salvation, the robes of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, as a bride adorns herself with jewels, for as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes things to be sown to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth for all the nations. Did he do that through Jesus?
Yes.
Did he do that through Jesus?
Yes.
Is he the one, and David says it like this, salvation belongs to the Lord. Okay, if I want you to ride in my car, I put you in there and I ride you where I want you to go. because it's mine. If I don't want you to ride in my car, you don't get in my car because it's mine. Is that right? Salvation belongs to the Lord, and he puts us in it. And he pays the price, and he does that. So watch this. As we go back to Matthew, that guy in those days would have been provided a garment because these people were on the side of the road, okay? They was wearing sweatpants, all right, or whatever. And they had wedding garments provided for them. Now watch this, guys. This is provided by the king. Is he in charge?
Yes.
But he's like, you know what? I'm not going to do all that. I'm just going to get my pork chop. And, well, I know pork back then. Okay. Chicken. Yeah, whatever. Apple cider. I don't know. Okay. So, but the point being is this. I'm not going to wear that. I'm going to do it my way because it's my way. You know, no. It's God's way. Okay? And God, the King, the Creator, provided for us a garment. And some of you that are watching this morning, guess what? You looked at the Father and you said, I want everything now. I'm going to go live my own life. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to be what I want to do. And you've lived debaucherously and you've lost everything. And then as you're coming home, guess what? The Father, who it all belongs to, is that right?
Yes.
He runs to you, the prodigal son. He embraces you in your filth and holds you and then puts on what? His robe. Did you pay for that robe? Was you good enough for that robe? Was you the right person at the right time? Did you do your hair right? Did you do this? Did you do that? You said you have the right theology. He had the wrong theology. His theology was, I'm going to do what I want to when I want to. And what did he do? He brought him in. Then he had a party. Is that right? And as he's having the party, the other brother comes in. The older brother comes in and goes, well, I worked all this time. You never had a party for me. I don't believe that. You know, he went out and spent your stuff. And that's what the church does. How can that person be saved? They don't have their love life straightened out. How can that person be saved? They don't have their finances worked out. How can that person be saved? They don't have, you know, that guy there, he flies around in a jet plane. That ain't none of my business. I don't care where he flies. Okay? I'm not kidding. We point all these fingers, and who's in charge?
God.
What we ought to do is have a party. Not weirdness, okay? But I'm just saying. And celebrate the fact that people, if they're proclaiming Christ, come on. What happened with Jesus? His disciples says, oh, they're not doing it like we did it. They're having a trapeze artist or whatever that was down there in town or whatever they're doing. I don't care. But what I do care about is that Christ is proclaimed. And guys, watch this. He refused the garment. He was speechless. And then he was kicked out. And here's the deal, guys. You don't get saved without the king. Are you hearing me? You might say, you know what? This might have been the guy that wasn't in the sweatpants. He might have had the latest of Japanese denim for $129 a pair. He might have had, instead of the cheap flannel, you know, he might have had the Pendleton, okay? Instead of wearing the stainless steel, he might have had gold and silver. I mean, but it's all God's. Does that make sense? And what he's calling us to do is, as we look at this together, number one, come to the wedding. Because I'm going to tell you something, it's not, the good folks have already said, I'm too good to hang out. Wherever you're at this morning listening, come to the wedding. And here's the deal. Don't make fun of because somebody doesn't do it like you do it, okay? And I want to be like the kid who literally finds the folks, the old lady in the neighborhood, and that says, you know, she bakes cookies every Thursday. And you can smell them coming out the window. And so we're going to go over there and just hang out like this. And do you think you might get a cookie? Okay. But before long, you tell your friend about it, and then you and him are there, and you're hanging out on Thursdays, and guess what? There's cookies. And the little lady comes out and says, hey, y'all want some cookies? Yeah. Before long, it's doubled and it's tripled. Because you know what? You didn't do nothing to deserve the cookies, right? But you showed up. Does that make sense? And what God has called you to do is to show up, okay? Because he has died so that we're going to have life and life more abundantly. One thing that I didn't say earlier, and I'm going to close. I've lived long enough and studied hard enough to know something. Every revival that's ever happened, including the one of Acts 2, where the Holy Spirit fell and they're all speaking in tongues and they're all hollering, and people said, them people's drunk. You remember that? Read that later when you get to the house. Okay? Them people are drunk. Okay? Well, and I'm not, this is not about order of church, or we're not talking about theology. This is not what this is about. But through the years, the Jesus movement was real. Okay? And I guess that would, I jumped way ahead, but all the different revivals through the years, there was the Welsh revival, the one in England, the one in the early United States. They were real revivals that changed the course of people's lives and changed the course of this country. But in every one of them, in every revival, there were people outside going, that ain't real. That ain't real. And there's people this morning, listen to this, and they're saying, that's too good to be true. It is too good to be true. That Jesus paid the price for me where I'm at. And as I fall and come short of the glory of God, as I walk, it's too good to be true. But it is. Just because it's better than we can imagine, guess what? Would that make, that's kind of what God is, isn't he? Isn't he? About the time you got it figured out. And we look at this thing called Christianity. Last picture. I want you to imagine the roped off area in Cape Fear that you can swim in. The swimming area. I want you to imagine that. It's a lake. And so you wade out there and you get your feet wet. It's hot. You wade out there and you swim around there and you guys hang out and you swim and you get wet and it's refreshing, right? And you think, I know everything there is to know about this lake. I know everything there is to know about this lake. And you then put on some goggles. Like I was a little underwater swimmer when I was a kid. And you go out there a little ways, you're still in the swimming area, but you drop down and you see those little perch swimming around. He said, there's fish in here. Wow. And you think, well, it's water, it's a lake, it's fish. I've got it all figured out. Okay? But guess what? There's sunken towns in that lake. You just got to know where they're at and have the equipment to go down and be willing to pay the price. Are you following me? There's fish in there, and I've seen pictures of them. I've eaten parts of some of them that are really, really big. But they don't come up in the swimming area, okay? So those of you who've been paddling around in the kiddie pool in the gospel of Jesus Christ, hey, it's good, it's refreshing, and it is the lake. But just realize you don't know it all, okay? It's a bigger lake. It's a bigger thing than you think it is. And if you've got God all figured out, that makes you God. That makes him down here and you up here. God is God. And I said, if I was God, I wouldn't do that. Well, you know what? I've said that, taught that. But the truth is, God is love. not has love. God is love. So as his kids, let's see if we can reflect that a little bit harder, a little bit more. Quit pointing the fingers and start loving one another and say, anybody that's thirsty, come in. And I'm going to tell you, 30 years ago or so, I was invited to do a wedding. And they were having tuxes. And I think they were $50 a piece. But guess what? My garment was provided. And all I had to do to be in the wedding is to put on my garment and go in there, do what I was supposed to do. And then I got to eat cake. I think if I remember right, we had barbecue later. But the point being is I didn't pay anything for that. It was paid, it was provided for me. You can't purchase your salvation. Be good, please. Follow what the Bible says for your body, your mind, your spirit, your freedom, your all those things. But salvation belongs to the Lord. And Father, right now as we close, it was paid for on the cross. So Lord, as we took that cup earlier, as we took that bread and held it, we recognize one more time, God, that you paid the price. So Father, we love you. We give our lives to you. We are your servants, oh God. So Lord, let us be the men and women you've called us to be, and then let us reflect your love to the world and not this judgmental thing this is all turned into. Say, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, because it's light. So Lord, as we walk in with you, through you, in this thing you call your family. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the garments that we can show up at the wedding and be the men and women we've been called to be. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a good week.